All right, we are live. Welcome everybody to the Why No Reply, How to Craft Cold Emails That Convert. I'm really excited to dive into some examples and of course share our knowledge and also hear from Dimitri as well. And you might be wondering, who is Will? Why is he talking to me right now with this nice shirt on and all that? Trevor was actually going to join us on the Mailshake side, but he had something come up. He had something personal, so I'm stepping in, and no worries. I've been doing cold email for a long time as well, and I also work at Mailshake. I've got a lot of great insight into the cold email space, so I am looking forward to sharing my knowledge and going through those examples that I mentioned as well. And Dimitri, most people probably know who you are, but if you want to give a quick intro of yourself, it'd be great.
Everybody, Dimitri here, founder of Just Reach Out, criminally prolific PR that converts. I love sending cold email. I've gotten companies acquired that I was a part of because of cold email. I've gotten a lot of press and publicity and grown multiple businesses to the point of acquisition, three in my career, and all thanks to cold email. And so today we're here to chat about cold email. That's a very short intro, but you can, check out more on my sites,
I love it. And there's one example that I'm really excited to talk about today that you brought up where you got in contact with a celebrity. I won't say any more, but we'll go through that example later and we can see how Dimitri got not only his businesses acquired, but got some ins with some celebrities. So without further ado, we wanted to cover a few things before we dive into examples. And the main thing that I wanted to cover off, of course, is an agenda for today, because we got to make sure that you know what you're getting into. We're going to be talking about why most cold emails suck, and also some foundations of how you can make these emails better. So the examples that we go through, we'll go through some bad examples and then also go through some good examples and how you can implement the good parts of these emails today. We'll also save time for some Q&A. There is a section, if you'd like to drop your questions early, there's a section for questions by the chat. You'll see it at the top. So please put your questions in there. That's going to be the easiest way for us to track it and then answer them at the end. So put your questions in there and it can be all throughout, and we're happy to either make it dynamic or address them at the end.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention that, anybody who's listening to this, I love it to be, conversational, not just us talking about these examples and slides and examples that work and don't. I want to hear from you, anybody who's out there, David, Libby, Samuel, Elodie. I'm just going down the list of people who are in the room now, Dan, Thorsten. I want to hear more about what your problems are with cold email. As you're listening to these examples, I want to hear specifically, what are you doing in terms of cold email? What are you sending? What is not working for you, Ron? Paula, have you been sending a lot of emails out? Ed, Zeb, Les, have you guys been sending a lot and that are not working for you? What is working for you? Make it more a conversational thing, because it's always awesome when people chime in and bring up real examples, because us just teaching stuff up here is one thing, but people coming up with real examples is another. So.
That's right. And going through the practice is going to be the best foot forward for you all. So if you have ideas, put them out in the chat, or again, put them as a question. And if you have a subject line that you really like, get our thoughts on it. This is your time to really get as much value for yourselves. We're doing this for you. Although we love to talk about cold email, it's also great to give you the insights that you really need. So absolutely, I second that. At any point, if anyone you're like, let's start the discussion about this, then we want this to be conversational. So absolutely put those in the chat or as we go. So first thing we wanted to get out of the way is, why is cold email a little bit more difficult nowadays? So the tricks that used to work, they simply don't work anymore. There may have been some subject lines that got opens, and now they're seen as more spammy. So there's a lot of information out there that's hard to wrap your head around and actually apply. It's also a changing landscape. More people are working remote, and so that means probably more emails, more time on screen, more time on websites, and consuming a lot of information. So what that means is when you send out an email, you have to think of ways that you can actually stand out and provide value in the sea of all those other emails that they're getting. And I would love to hear about some of the maybe tricks that you've all tried. Do you have a subject line that gets opens? Did you try one from an article that actually didn't really work too well? And also what you think of the changing landscape. How do you feel that it's changed? Are you seeing a lower open rate with your emails? Are you seeing more people responding, hopefully? Hopefully it's good responses as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the changing landscape. And Dimitri, I know you've been doing cold email for a while, but what has your opinion been on how things have been changing? And what are some things to know about in this changing landscape? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so mainly, I mean, we'll show you examples of what's happening right now, what people are missing. But the general idea is that one to many doesn't work anymore as well as it used to. We used to think, hey, I got this one email page, I can send it to thousands of people, and just by volume, I don't care about anybody else who doesn't fit the bill and isn't gonna say yes. I'm just gonna take everybody who's no and throw them out. And it still is gonna be worth it for me to shoot out, you know, thousands of emails a week, maybe tens of thousands a week, right? So that used to be like early 2000s when I was sending email, like that was basically the norm. Like I could spin up four or five domains, say like, I don't know, we're looking at Ildigo, his domain is stcorp.nl, which is a Dutch domain, looks like. So I could say stcorp.co, stcorp.io, nsccorp.net, and then I could create a bunch of fake email addresses on it, say itdigo@stcorp.net, and then I could say, all right, well, I'm going to shoot out probably 500 emails today, then maybe 1,000 or 1,500 tomorrow, and then I can just burn that domain very quick, get my 25,000, I don't know, 50,000 emails out, and then have a small open rate on it, piss off everybody else, and then go and do the same thing and create a new domain and keep doing that, right? So those days are pretty much are done. Like people are still doing that, but it's not warranting any results, mostly. People understand when they get emails these days, that, you know, this is a spam, this is a canned email from somebody who doesn't know me. And if you didn't do the work of actually personalizing it and delivering value to somebody, in other words, you didn't say that email out loud and you didn't imagine yourself walking up to that person, probably is, you know, you're missing the mark these days.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
The biggest change.
And Zev has a good comment here that the anti-spam bots, because spam was such a huge thing, like you mentioned, you just are pissing people off, you're sending so many emails, and you're burning that domain that you don't care about. Now people have developed these ways to have anti-spam. And that is actually influencing Zev's open rates, click rates. And it sounds like, Zev, the only real responses you can track are the opt-outs. Hopefully the responses are there as well, but that's of course harder to come by. And Dimitri, that aligns perfectly with your point of making it personalized, making it relevant. If people actually do click into these outside of the anti-spam bots, then that is going to be the driver that gets them to respond. And Zev, that's good that you are not sending out thousands of emails, because you don't want to burn that domain, because that's going to hurt it for sure.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's empty toolbox, and there's these tools out there that can show you whether you're on a blacklist, whether you got on some type of a list where, you know, you're really in trouble when you send these emails out. But basically, I think of it as a warm-up game, right? You want to warm up your leads, and you want to figure out what's working, what's not. So you do want to be sending 10 and 15. And to Zev, to your point, like you should be looking at your open rate and seeing if you can achieve your 50% open rate or whatever it is, 45%. In my world, it's usually 50%. And then my response rate should be around 12%. So if your open rate is low, then you got to figure out whether it's your subject line or targeting is off. If your response rate is low, then it's probably the pitch or targeting is off. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And that actually goes nicely with David's question here. When cold emailing prospects to sell chatbots, would you say it is correct after an introduction, including benefits, to add a demo bot link in the first email to a prospect? Or do you think that you should pique interest, probe pain points, build a relationship, and then add the link?
I would say, David, try imagining yourself walking up to the person and then striking up that conversation face to face. And let's imagine we meet somebody at a show, like a trade show, or maybe you meet somebody at a bar or somebody, and you start conversation and they're somewhat interested. What do? You do chatbots. Great. You do a little bit of an introduction. How much more talking are you going to have to do to get comfortable with that person in order to say, hey, do you want to check out and demo what we do? Right. So usually in most situations, you would not do it on the first date because you just met that person. That person doesn't know anything about you. They just met you and they kind of know what you do. If there's some mutual interest there, you might say, maybe we should do this a little later. But generally speaking, what I would do is I would research that person to figure out what needs or problems they might have and give you a signal on something. That is done these days with, different third-party tools. You can see if they are running HubSpot, for example, which will tell you, you can use a different service that will give you, okay, this site is running HubSpot. Then you can say, okay, I can really start chatting with this person because they have HubSpot. With real estate agents, I mean, it really depends. You need to look at their listings. You need to see what they've sold, and you need to figure out, all right, do they have any current listings? Do you think a chatbot would help themselves, sell these listings? Do you know anybody in their area who's using your product, who's getting more sales than they are? Those are the types of conversations that you should probably open up with them, saying, hey, let's say her name is Natalia or something, or, Larissa or something. You say, hey, Natalia, I saw your listings. Looks great. Looks like you have four listings that are current right now. But we have somebody else in Cincinnati, Ohio, another customer who's using us and is getting more inbound, whatever it is, conversions on their sales with this tool that we have. Are you all interested in taking a look or some type of a personalization like that, right?
So that's one of the main pieces. You don't want it to seem like it's so generic that it could be sent to everyone. If it's personalized in some form where they can then say, yes, that is relevant to me. You've piqued my interest. Let's have a chat. The relevancy is going to be the main thing that does that, because there are so many people or businesses that could have general problems. But if you focus in on, hey, I saw this listing, or you did this, or you posted this on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, that's going to pique their interest, because that shows that A, you did your research on them. And so you probably know a bit more about what they care about. And B, you're providing value as well. And not in the way of, hey, our product does X, Y, Z. It's, hey, I know real estate agents in general want more sales. So this is how you can do it. And the less you talk about your platform is probably the better, and more on the problems and the solution to those problems as well, because that's what's going to drive people, not the name of your company or the main thing that your company does or the awards that you've won. That's all for later in the sales process. And Dimitri, that's a great example of, if you're approaching someone or if you're meeting them for the first time, what does the conversation look like? You wouldn't ask them for a demo right in that first conversation. That would be further on, and you would try and be more personal with that person at the start as well. Great, great questions though, David. I like it. The comment on problems they may have converting on Facebook, I think that would be good as well. That's very specific. If you see they're on Facebook, then that would be really relevant to what they're doing. And then also, if your tool can help with that, again, you're speaking around the problem and having that solution for that problem where you know they're already playing in that space. Awesome. So why don't we get into some more examples? David, that's a great one. And anyone else, if you have ideas, just like David did, he just put in the chat here, this is what I'm trying to do with cold email. What can I do to improve it? We're going to go through a few more examples, but you can always drop some in the chat as well. So let's get into the first example. And some of these will be bad. Some of them will be good. This one will be a bad one first. And Dimitri, I know this one was sent to you. So I'd love to get your initial take when you first received this email. What are your thoughts going through this?
Well, it says, hi there. The very first thing is it's not personalized. So the person is doing a canned, you know, like a, he's not personalizing it to me. So he's just sending it to a bunch of people. The link is obviously inserted into it right away. You know, I immediately kind of like pushed away from reading the rest of it and clicking no, I don't want to receive any more emails like this from this person. And almost right away, he's introducing me to some kind of solution that, I mean, I have no reason to really check out or build trust with this person because it's, I don't really care about push notifications. And so it's just, it's signed off as a team. It's not even from a real person. This is basically exactly what I was talking about. Like, this is what we're trying to avoid. And we nod our head and it makes sense right now. But then when we go and we write our cold emails, somehow this gets back to this version, right? We try not to do this, right? We try and make sure it's personalized. We try to get all the data together and make it seem like it is, but it just, this is the outcome. So we want to make sure that this doesn't happen to most folks, right?
Yeah. And all great points. And I noted them down as you were mentioning them just for everyone else here. There were about 5 points there. So personalization, link just looks copy and pasted. They're introducing the solution too soon. They didn't really build trust and they signed off by the team. It doesn't really seem like a human. So the overall sentiment here is there's no trust being built. There's no relationship being built. It's just, hey, I read even TruePush 3 times here. And I don't know what TruePush is and I don't care what TruePush is. So they're focusing too much on them and not enough on you as the recipient. And although this one is short and succinct, it's relatively scannable. There's still too much text where if I'm trying to figure out where's the value in this, I can't easily find it. I'm going to look over this over 3 to 5 seconds and then I'm going to be like, okay, I'm not going to waste my time on reading this further. Let's go into another example. So this one I actually received this morning. And so first of all, subject line, appropriate person. I think the ask for trying to figure out the appropriate person is the weakest ask that you could do. They didn't personalize. They said, I'm looking to get in touch with this person who handles this at Mailshake. And here's our company and here's what we've done. Do you want a few minutes to chat? Like, no, I don't want a few minutes to chat. Like, why would I help you out? Like, there's no incentive for me to help you out. They didn't even try and personalize it. And I actually gave them feedback. I gave them the feedback on, okay, you didn't provide me value. You didn't personalize this. And you talked about your company too much. And the CTA, the ask in the email is really weak. They were receptive to the feedback, thankfully. But yeah, it was hard to read this, especially being in the cold email space so much where I'm like, there's so much wrong with this. And luckily I give the feedback. I actually did respond, but it's going nowhere with their outreach and it's only going to go nowhere with their other prospects as well. Now, what I do like about this is it's very short. It's very scannable. And I think that's one of the reasons why I did read it and I did respond to it was because it was so easy to read. So that's 1 point for them, but they are still at about minus 10. Dimitri, what are your thoughts on this kind of outreach?
The subject line takes me back to very like 2005, 2007. The subject appropriate person and quick question. Those, like, if you guys have seen, these are like the old school, like, you know, get a response, because appropriate person used to get the right kind of, I think Neil Patel, when we were chatting with him and I interviewed him, he used to use that all the time to kind of get his advertising clients for Neil Patel Digital before it became official. And he would say, hey, who's the right person to chat with to do this? And it would usually get kicked up to the right person, and the right person would, or kicked down from, he'll email like the CEO, and then the CEO would kick it to whoever needs to be contacted. The subject line is okay-ish. The value prop personalization is just not there. There's just no real, like, that person will not say that to Will, you know, if they met him face to face. And that's really the big test, you know?
Yeah. The way I thought of it is like, someone almost like handing out pamphlets on the street. Like, usually you walk by them, maybe you take the pamphlet, you read it for 2 seconds, and then you hopefully recycle it after that. But that's exactly what I think these kinds of pitches are like, where they don't even try and start a conversation with you. It's just, here's what I have to offer. Not, hey, this is what you could find valuable, or hey, this is something about you that you should care about. It doesn't have any pull to it. Again, the pull is very important in building that trust and the personalization. So we got some chats going on here. Let's see what's going on. So Thorstein, you mentioned I tried using Mailshake with some good results in the 25. I think I had a bit of a connection issue.
All right, you're back. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, awesome. I was just reading Thorstein's initial comment. How can I scale cold emails to hundreds of emails a day?
Yeah,
I've got my thoughts, but yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, real quick, and I'll let you chat with Gmail. So I've done Gmail stuff for a while. What happens is it's an email service provider. And so when you send an email, and if let's say 80% or 75% of that next email, and the email after that, and the email after that is similar. In other words, Thorstein, you're sending emails that are very similar, but you're changing maybe 25 to 30% of that email. And this could be you're changing the subject line in the intro or something like that. Gmail is very good at figuring that out. And then what happens is you get classified as a bulk sender. A bulk sender has to jump through a lot of other rules in order to get to an inbox. So then all of a sudden, most of your emails start going to spam. Then, for example, your Gmail gets shut off or something like that. Because Gmail does not want you to start sending tons of emails that are the same, because it's just you're gaming it, right? And so the idea is you want to personalize it as much as you can, 50% or so. Now, at Just Reach Out, we have an integration with Gmail, just like Mailshake does. And we mainly do, you know, PR outreach, and, you know, Mailshake is really good for everything. And when you're sending stuff through Mailshake, don't forget that personalization. So let's say you'll probably want to do maybe 3 or 5 emails with a similar kind of tone. And then you might switch it up for the next 5 to 10 and do something different. And then once you kind of find something that's working, kick it up a notch to 20. But you want to see very healthy numbers. You want to see maybe 50% open rate, maybe 12% response rate in order to even start scaling. So my guesses at what's happening is that you're starting to scale right off the bat without getting those solid numbers, and you're getting classified as a bulk sender. The other thing for everybody who's listening to this, I want to make sure you're not sending emails from your main domain. Like if you're doing cold email outreach and you're serious about it, you have a domain such as .net, .co, .in, .io that you're warming up with easy emails. Like Will isn't going to send cold emails from mailshake.com. He will probably send me emails from mailshake.co or something like that. Because what happens is, if there's any problems, if you get put on a blacklist, if some kind of filter flags you as spam, guess what? Like that entire domain is now tainted, right? And just because Will sent out 500 emails today, or maybe he sent out 30 today, if one of those emails gets marked as spam, now that taints the entire domain and the entire organization. So it's very important to make sure that you're emailing from a .net or whatever domain and set it up that way. And make sure that you're personalizing and warming it up and have very healthy numbers.
Yeah, and there are some tools that help you with warming up your domain. And a manual practice that you can do outside of a tool is sending to some people that you know and then having them respond. Because if they are receiving these emails, they're not being marked as spam, Google is seeing that there's a response being had, then that is another way to warm up your email at the initial start. It's a little bit harder to do that at scale, but obviously that's when you would introduce a tool like warm up your email or something like that. And that is in Mailshake as well to help with building that domain reputation so that you don't land in spam. That's a really good one though, because especially if you're starting out with cold email, scaling it is really important because you can mess it up easily very quickly. We have more info on that if you wanted to check out more. But let's move on to Maz's situation here. All right. I work for a background screening for new hires company. Main challenge is that almost all the companies in my target audience are already using a competitor. Okay. And they usually stick with these for a long time. Barriers, potential customer to even introduction call is really high. What can I include in my message? So I think if you, and this is what I would do, if you know that a lot of these organizations are using a competitor, I would try and speak directly to the differentiator right away. So you could speak to a challenge that a lot of those softwares or those companies present with their solutions. If you focus on, all right, maybe they don't have great customer service, or maybe they don't have amazing integrations, or maybe they are their scope is too big, so they're not really good at the thing that you do. I would say call that out right away as the pain point that the prospect is experiencing. So it is a tough situation, but the hook is going to be, what's different? What is the value? Why should they even consider talking to you? So I would focus on those main differentiators that are solving pain points that your prospects are already experiencing and just opening with that. Hey, most people who use this software or this and this software experience this. Is that an experience that you have? You're not selling anything. You're simply asking a question at that point. And that's going to help build the trust because it seems like you know your stuff. And then also it will be more relatable to them as well.
And that's awesome advice.
Yeah, I would say that would be in the second half of your email as well. Always start with personalization at the top. If you can find them on LinkedIn, say, hey, I love this thing that you engaged with, or this thing that you wrote, or this was amazing. Like, I agree. Start the conversation on a personal tone and then have that second half be focused on the value of why you're reaching out. But those are my thoughts.
I would also, Maz, you know, to Thorsten's point, I'm a big believer in alternative two pages. So I usually create, I love using Mailshake for my outreach, right? But if I was part of a Mailshake like team that wanted to go after everybody who's their competitor out there, right? I would say, all right, here's the biggest competitor we have that most people use. I'll say alternative to the name of that competitor. and then literally list kind of why Mailshake is amazing at what, you know, it does compared to these competitors that are on the field. You know, it's cheap, it's very quick to hook up. Then you can test and get real responses on whether it's working or not in days. There's not a lot of buttons. It's not like a very clunky, big kind of behemoth of a software. It's just quick sign up. It's very much designed for entrepreneurs, people who are on a budget, who cannot spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month for a solution like that, right? And I think that's the biggest, you know, benefit to using Mailshake to do your cold email outreach. And I would talk to anybody out there who does that kind of stuff, right? So if there is, you know, sales loft, sales, like all, there's all these different softwares out there, right? You go and you say, all right, great, you guys are using that. Our price point, our, you know, ease of use, how fast it is. And here are some case studies of people who used to use something else, switched over to us. Those are all proof points. You don't want to like hit people over the head, but when you reach out, you say, hey, we actually created a page that compares everything out there to Thorsten's point. Here's what other people are saying about us versus them. And it really helps, like once you do the analysis on your competitors and kind of where you stack up against them, it helps in selling your solution.
Yeah, I love those points. That page is definitely going to be useful because if people click on that, then that's a sign. If you're getting traffic there, that's a sign. People are looking for a different solution to what they have, or they've at least had their interest piqued because there might be something going wrong that your tool can solve better than these other tools. And Dimitri, the point of the case study as well, I think that is the most powerful one. So if you can get it, if you do have those customers that have transitioned, having that on the page, maybe at the bottom, is going to be really good for building that social proof as well, because it's nice to hear that you have this and they have this, but if someone else says it, then that's going to be the most compelling piece. So I would say use that as a tool if you're able to, and then if not, then definitely lean more into that page that compares. So Zev asked here, is it just one email being flagged as spam that will taint the link? Is it more than that, or is the one good enough?
I think it's sometimes when it's not going to be just one email, but I would say if you go to MX Toolbox, just run your domain in there, and then you will see which blacklists and problems you have with your domain. That's typically what most people do. That's like your first kind of look at what's happening overall with your domain and problems. Here's the link I kind of shared in the chat. But I would just run your domain and see what's happening there. But just be careful, because you know, the more emails get marked as spam or caught by email service provider filters, the more problems you're going to have, the more blacklists you're going to see. And you know, even if you're listed as in one blacklist or two, it's not the end of the world. I'm just saying, don't do your main outreach from the main domain, right? Do not do it from mailshake.com. Do it from mailshake.co or something like that.
Yeah, main reason is because if you want to use that domain in the future, if you're using it over time, that's just more lists that you'll be put on. Whereas if you use those separate domains, then it won't be all on the different blacklists, or it wouldn't be the domain on all of the different blacklists. Cool. So let's hop into another example. So this one is another bad example, and then we'll get into some good examples after this and then explain why they're good examples and of course have some takeaways. So this one here, this was sent to someone on the Mailshake team. Essentially, the reason I don't like it is because they're listing way too many things that they do. They're not focused on the challenges. It's not really personalized at all, other than the name at the start. And this is not something that compels you to respond. because when we're emailing, we have to think that it's still a human to human interaction. And we'll keep coming back to this, where it's like, if you say this out loud, it sounds weird. If you said this to your friend, it also sounds weird. And if you approach someone in public just randomly and said this, it sounds awkward and weird, and people would be uncomfortable saying it and probably receiving it as well. The only thing, again, that I might like about this is that there's not a lot of text, so it might be easy to read. But again, that list, way too big. The value is not there, and I don't care as a reader. And this actually did land in spam for this person, probably for good reason, because they're doing this kind of outreach in sending to multiple different people and probably in bulk as well. Dimitri, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, similar to yours. Like, it's just a little bit too much, right? And not enough value prop right up front. Say that loud. That's all I kind of keep saying. Yeah. Just say that loud.
Exactly. And so why don't we hop into the video? What do you think? You think now's a good time?
I think it's a fun video. So imagine, we talked about saying things out loud. So just imagine what it would sound like if you actually said most of the stuff you emailed out loud.
this is hilarious. So I'm just going to make sure it's not super loud as well. All right.
Well, I'm not happy, guys.
How are we doing for volume?
Mm-mm, no, sir. I'm not happy. And you know why? Because there is an epidemic happening on LinkedIn. That's right. The cold emails that make no sense. The annoying follow-ups. The ridiculous cold spam. Whatever you want to call it. Yada, yada, yada. It's a problem. And at Nextiva, we decided to do a social experiment to raise awareness about how bad it's getting. I asked our CMO to send me 8 of the most ridiculous examples of cold email that he's gotten this past week. And as crazy as this sounds, I went to the mall, went up to random people all day long, and started pitching them in person, LinkedIn Live. And the reason we did this is because we want salespeople to awaken and realize that this has got to stop. And it starts with you. Be the change you want to see within the world. Let's go see how it went.
This guy's got guts. I don't know how he did this.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm really intrigued. I think there may be some synergy here. I was wondering if I can get 15 minutes on your calendar next week to discuss your 2019 business goals.
Wait, can I speak to the business course?
Yeah, your business goals.
My business goals?
Yeah, for 2019.
Oh, I'm at work right now.
So, oh, really? Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Maybe I'll follow up with you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, do you have like a card or something like that? You have 15 minutes on your calendar next week to discuss your 2019 business goals?
My business goals are all pre-established.
Oh, 15 minute slots available.
No.
Not one.
No.
Yeah. No. All right.
Totally uninterrupted.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Hey, I know we don't know each other, but I was hoping to change that. So you might have 15 minutes on your calendar for next week?
Probably, but I'm mostly here at work, and then I usually have to do other stuff too.
Right. Hey, man, how's it going? We're approaching the end of Q4, and I would love to help you close off Q4 really strong. So I was wondering if you had 15 minutes on your calendar next week so I can maybe talk with your 2019 business strategy through with you?
Nope. Thanks, Eddie.
I can't follow up. I can't get 15 minutes on your calendar. Oh, no. It's just a free demo. I was just going to show you a demo.
My wife saved all my money. Honestly,
yeah, what should I do? Hang
out in front of Cage Village.
So maybe I'll hang out in front of there and see what kind of gold I can scrape up. There, you know what I mean? Go. Yeah, I got to go fishing, baby.
Okay.
yeah. I would like to really, help you guys finish the fourth quarter strong.
Okay.
And I was wondering if I could get like 15 minutes on your calendar next week.
This is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a business card?
I do have a LinkedIn profile. Perhaps we could connect there.
It's
been a great discovery call, man. Appreciate you very much. So, Santa, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm really intrigued, and I feel there may be some synergy here. So I want to know if you have 15 minutes on your calendar next week for a business meeting. I'd like to discuss your 2019 business strategy with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Really?
Sure. So, hey.
Okay, so Rudolph's like more or less your business partner. If I can get his buy-in throughout the organization, there's a good chance I'll be able to close this deal.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. So, as we can see, Santa has to say yes. He's the only one. But that is such a great example. And obviously he's in public in a mall, but at the end of the day, when you're approaching people, and it could be virtually, we have to remember the humanness to it. We have to remember that you can't, it's just weird. It's just awkward to go up and ask for a time or say, hey, check this out, because people don't care. People aren't intrigued with that. It's weird to them. It makes them uncomfortable. So that is one of the main things that we should pull from that, which is, sorry, you can get some
time. Yeah, I'm going to try and sum my end, I think.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Yeah, so the main thing is, like, although we are in this virtual world sending an email and it's we're not in front of the person, we have to remember that they're still people and they still work like people. Their attention works like human attention, which is we don't respond to those things when there is no value for us. There is no trust being built. There's no relationship being built. So again, although it's text on a screen, we need to bring that into email. And the best way to do that is a lot of the things we talked about today, which is that personalization, getting to the point and being value oriented and not value for you, value for the prospect at the end of the day. But Dimitri, do you have any more thoughts on that before we go into some good examples?
No, I think it's good to just go into good examples. We kind of talked it to death. I think people understand that, you know, they got to personalize, they got to deliver value, and they got to send stuff that really connects with people these days. No more spamming tons of people at once with generic emails, right?
That's right. So. And so we'll start with your example where you got in contact with a celebrity. So I know I teased it at the start. This one I like. It's such a cool story. And the example here is, Dimitri, I'll let you go through it and talk.
Sure. Well, this is Ashton Kutcher. So you guys probably know Ashton Kutcher from TV. You probably don't know that he's an investor and very much plugged into startups. Or maybe you do. But I lived in Silicon Valley. I ran a speaker series, and I really wanted him to be part of my speaker series. Now, Ashton Kutcher is a celebrity. He's a very hard person to get to speak, especially about startups. So I took about probably 16, 18 months to get everybody who he admires and who he has referenced in his Twitter profile or in his talks at Stanford, because he used to speak at Stanford quite often. Whenever he would mention a name, I would make it my job to go get that person, get them on my speaker series. My speaker series was in person in Silicon Valley from 2007 to 2009. And, you know, I made sure that happened. And so I think this was 2011. So I was continuing going on with my speaker series. I just was starting to do podcasts and things like that. And I wanted him to finally come on. And so I got a hold of, I guessed his email. And so, yeah, I sent this email out and it says, first and foremost, I'm humbled to be writing, which, yeah, I actually rehearsed it. I said it out loud many times. You know, I said, hey, I a number of people who spoke at our speaker series before are, and I mentioned who they were. And then they had amazing things to say about you as well. I made sure that I touched a little bit on the fact that he has mentioned them in his Twitter stream or in his talks, so that they might say, oh, that's nice to hear, or hey, I didn't know that, right? So I made sure I got a little bit of a comment from each one of those guests. And I said, I wanted to reach out to you and ask you if you have a few minutes to chat about potentially speaking at our event. The topic would be interesting, investing and building product. And so I linked them up with our website and said, looking forward to connect. And then I gave a little bit of what we do, just so he knows, and put some legitimacy behind the name. And so, yeah, that was the cold email that I sent to get Ashton Kutcher to respond. And that was the response there. Kelly Donnelly ended up, you know, connecting with me, and we connected with him as well. But it took quite a long time to arrange to get any kind of answers from him for an interview. But it just goes to show that, you know, approaching really good targets and taking the time and really delivering kind of value and real, you know, real life to the emails really pays off, I think.
Yeah, value and relevancy. It was easy for them to be like, oh, this is relevant to me because this person is there, this person is there, and they've referenced them before. So that relevancy is one of the key things that probably hooked them. And then, of course, your pitch was super light. It wasn't, hey, let's talk for 15 minutes. Let's talk for a few minutes just about the potential, quick chat, and that's it. And then you did get a response because of it as well. So I love that, because I think the sentiment there is we should treat our prospects like they're celebrities. We should be respectful to them. We should try and provide value. We should be interested in engaging with them, not for us simply pitching to them or simply like trying to throw what we have at them. It's like, no, we want to connect. It has to be a connection. And if you think of them as a celebrity, then hopefully that brings that forward as well. I have a similar one, not to a celebrity, unfortunately, and this is actually one I received, so I'm definitely not a celebrity. But when I got this outreach, it was cold outreach, but the reason that it was good, the reason I enjoyed it, was because they saw that I engaged on LinkedIn with something. I commented on a post and I said, this is a great resource, looking forward to reading it because someone in my network shared this. And that resource was from this company where Jay is reaching out from. And he delivers value at the outset. So the first thing that he pitches is, we have a community that you can join in. So it's nothing for him to gain other than maybe just a larger community, but it is me getting value where I can join this community and I can learn more. Great. Of course, I'm going to want to be a part of that because it is related to my role. It is related to where I'm trying to grow. It's related to making me successful, not making Jay successful. He then goes in to say something around the lines of, we have this thing that can help with your integrations. Would you want to explore more? I said, yes. Great, great email. Thanks for sending it. I'm screenshotting it as an example, because I love it, because it was personalized and it hooked me. And this is, again, another example of a good email. The only thing I don't like about it is there's a lot of text, but because he got that initial hook, I actually did read it. So all that text was okay for me as a reader. What do you think of this, Dimitri? Do you have any other points that you would love to add in on why this was a good email?
Well, I love it because, you know, he took the time to connect, and take a look at kind of what you guys do a little bit. And, you know, he just is doing more research, right? And so it's very tempting not to just not do all that research and literally just, even like with Mailshake, the whole point is like, here's my email template. Here's the sequence of emails that I'm going to stick into this thing. And then it's just going to churn. It's going to send these emails out on autopilot. And I want to make sure that before we do that, let's send 5 or 7 of these, right? Let's not upload a list of 150, right? I know it's tempting because, you know, you signed up, maybe you got a deal for Mailshake. Maybe you signed up for the regular price and you're paying $50 or whatever a month, but it's tempting to just use up all your credits and just see, oh, I'm paying $50. Might as well just blast it with like hundreds of emails. And maybe I can hit the limit on my Gmail. And it's like, no, because what's going to happen is it's just going to not work out. It's going to not give you real data on what's happening with the outreach, because you're going to not get that many responses and most of them won't be, you know, positive. So take the time to really research a person, find something unique about them, put out 3, 4, 5 emails, right? See if that angle works, that style works, that template works. And then if something is working, then you can scale things up a little bit.
Amazing. That's awesome. So we've got 8 minutes or so left. I wanted to open it up, Zev. I see you're typing. I don't know if you're typing out. Oh, there we go. So let's go dive into questions. So if anyone has any other context they'd love to have, either specific to, again, subject lines, copy, their situation, this is the forum to do it. Start typing it out. Zev will take a look at yours. And I think I would also love to learn more about this as well as the how do I get around anti-spam bots? My target is enterprise customers needing migration services. Many have obvious bots opening every email, clicking every link. Do they key in on an unsubscribe link? If I send an email with high personalization, should I simply send directly from my email client, not Pardot, to avoid the bot, or won't that work? That's a great question. So if you're reaching out to these enterprise companies, I would say that the personalization is still going to play a role, but also diversify your approach. Reach out on LinkedIn because they may not have as much LinkedIn there. Try further personalizing your outreach. So maybe they accept your connect on LinkedIn, make a video and send it to them. Make it personalized, show your face, show your emotion, and that is going to help build that relationship. In the context of anti-spam bots though, is something I'd love your opinion on, Dimitri. I know anti-spam bots have grown over the years. What's your experience been like with them, and do you have any advice for Zev?
Yeah, Zev, totally. So I've dealt with this quite a bit. What I typically do is I connect with people on LinkedIn who I want to chat with and open up with value prop right away. So if I want to sell something to them, if I wanted to, let's say a Mailshake, I want to find a client who, you know, wants to use Mailshake and they should be using it. And I would connect with their CMO on LinkedIn, say, hey, what's going on? I see that you guys are cold emailing using some other solution. I just got an email from one of your associates or whatever it is. I see that it's not working really well for you because this thing ended up in spam for me. I wanted to show you a few things that you can do to improve that or something like that. Or maybe you provide some kind of value like, hey, we're putting out a blog post. I'd love to mention you or something like that. Or, hey, I know a podcast that you'd be great at. Something very simple to start, kick off the conversation. Once you got a little bit of a thread going with, and again, you just find the CMO at that enterprise company, you send out a note on over LinkedIn, that will 100% will get into their inbox. If you said connect and then you put a little note there, once they kind of know who you are, I think then that is the right time for you to ping, do a little bit of a cold outreach. So it's going to be if you're dealing with enterprise clients, it's a lot of handholding, long sales cycles. So it's going to be a two-pronged approach, I think, for you, following up on Twitter, LinkedIn, and then second step in the game is really email, might be. Because if they don't know you and you're sending emails, sometimes it just gets, not read. Also, the email that you're sending to should be a personal email of that person. So sometimes, these spam bots are on, marketing at emails or, marketing team at mailshake.com or something like that, right? And so you want to make sure that these are real personal emails. And you also want to make sure that you're starting a conversation on LinkedIn, Twitter, and maybe transitioning that to an email sequence or something like that,
Yeah, so what I would recommend is when you're building a cadence, put in those social tasks into those cadences that you have. So maybe you're sending an initial email. Sure, it might land, it might work. You can do that if you'd like, but have that social task in there because it'll then be a part of your practice. Because like Dimitri just mentioned, once you are engaged with them, you're going to be much more recognizable and much more warm. So when you send that second email, they'll know, oh, okay, I vaguely remember this guy named Will. Will Taylor, I think he reached out to me on LinkedIn. Well, let's at least open his email. And then, of course, you can make your email more openable by having things that reference the already sent messages on LinkedIn. So you could say, my LinkedIn message, or, hey, loved that loved your comment on this post on LinkedIn. Again, you're focusing on that personalization, and having that multi-threaded approach is going to help out in making them a much more warm prospect.
And I want to mention just one thing with what you're saying now is that the rules change these days, and cold email doesn't actually enter your inbox most of the time. Like for me, I use hey.com. I don't get email from anybody who's never emailed me before. So that just goes to your screener. And that's just like sitting there, and I can look at it whenever I want to. But if you've never emailed me, I'll never even see that email. It'll go to like a special place. And so I only correspond with people who I know, because I can't handle all that, right? So for you to break through, you kind of have to ping me other ways. You probably, you know, go on LinkedIn or Twitter, or maybe you would mention me in your article or something like that. And so that's how I think you got to start thinking these days when it comes to cold email, right? Is that you can't just sit there and just email all these people that don't know you, right? And they won't just open your email, because we all get so much of it. So you just have to do something different, something more unique, to really break through to them. And that's what we're kind of chatting about, is, hey, go on LinkedIn, do some research, promote them, reference them somewhere, strike up a conversation on social media with them, and then say, oh, can I email you? And then say, all right, I shot you a note or something like that. Because it's that's where we're at these days, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And just in the last minute, I just wanted to share with everyone that because you attended, we are making sure that you get even more value. We'll be sending out an email with this information, but you can actually get 10% off your Mailshake account for life if you are a new client when you use code PROLIFIC. And then also we're going to be sending out some more resources that can help you in the way of templates and maximizing your cold outreach. So have an eye out for that email. We'll also be sending this as a recording, so you can always listen back if you wanted to go into those sound bites, or of course make sure that you're getting the full advantage of the full webinar. So in the link you'll see a chat from our team where you can claim that 10%, and then also you can always book a demo as well to learn more about Mailshake. That is where I will leave it. Again, thank you so much for joining, and thank you for Dimitri as well for joining us and sharing your expertise. Have an eye out again for those emails, and I hope you found this useful. We went through a lot, and I loved the engagement from everyone in the chat. Loved those situations that we could break down into. That was awesome.
Thanks,
David.
Thanks for Nick. All the questions. Yeah, and shoot them our way. You know, happy to answer more. Use the code, and you know, Be well and do good work with your outreach out there.
That's right. And think about saying it out loud as well. Try it even saying it out loud. And if it feels silly, it probably is. So always make that outreach better. And thank you again, everyone, for attending. And we will sign off. We'll see you around.
All right. Bye.